The Latin America Report is made possible by MBAF, CPAs and advisors.
From the WLRN Newsroom, I'm Tim Padgett. Tomorrow, Cuba may have a new president. That person will be elected by the National Assembly. Election is a relative term. Cuba is a communist state. But for the first time in 59 years, Cuba's head of state will not be named Castro. Since 1959, the late Fidel Castro and then his brother Raul Castro have led the island. Raul is 86 now, so he's all but selected this man to succeed him. 57-year-old Miguel Díaz-Canel, Cuba's first vice president. If you're thinking his likely election as president means change, this video leaked on YouTube may make you think again. In it, Díaz-Canel addresses Cuban Communist Party officials. He talks about censoring internet publications, barring opposition candidates from running for office, stonewalling the U.S. as the two countries try to normalize relations. In other words, Díaz-Canel sounds like any other Cuban communist hardliner. Thanks to the video, that's the impression many Americans and other non-Cubans have. But it may be a bit mistaken.
You tell me 15 years ago this was a person that Cuba will be passing the baton to, I would have said, nah, you're crazy.
Andy Gomez is former director of the Institute for Cuban and Cuban American Studies at the University of Miami. He's done his own research into Díaz-Canel, including conversations with current and former Cuban government officials. Gomez is a Cuban exile critical of the Castro regime, and he says the probable new president is an orthodox communist. But at the same time, he believes Díaz-Canel, who was born after the Cuban Revolution, does represent not just a transition of generation, but also of attitude.
He's an engineer, a very logical man who likes to get other people's opinions, who likes to govern collectively, looks for consensus building, I'm being told, open to other people's ideas.
Cuban exile Pedro Freire heads international practice at the Ackerman Law Firm in Miami. He often visits Cuba, and he says Cubans who knew Díaz-Canel in his provincial hometown of Santa Clara, they describe him as a modest, accessible civilian, in contrast to Fidel Castro and the revolution's rigid military icons.
Much more approachable than the ordinary communist administrator. This was a guy who rode around on his bicycle, and he would stop and talk to people and listen to them. Very affable. Simpatico.
It is, in fact, Díaz-Canel's humility that has helped him survive as an anointed Castro successor. In the past, other rising stars have looked like the chosen one, only to be banished by Fidel when he decided they'd become too full of themselves. Freire says Cuba's post-revolution generation is hoping, if not demanding, that Díaz-Canel convert his more practical style into economic reform. Normalization with the U.S. has raised Cubans' expectations for more free enterprise at a time when Cuba's economy is in serious crisis.
You cannot go on forever blaming the U.S. So the pressure that Díaz-Canel is going to feel is he needs to come up with a process of reforms that won't get him booted out of office and will feed the Cuban people.
But there's the rub. Reforms that won't get him booted. Díaz-Canel feels reform pressure from his generation, but he'll feel even more from the old revolutionary cohort to suppress reform.
It's inconceivable that he's going to be an agent of change. He's not his own man.
Former Coral Gables Mayor James Kaysen was the de facto U.S. ambassador to Cuba in the early 2000s. He notes Raul Castro and the old guard will still be right next door, running the more powerful Cuban Communist Party and military. Recently, they've rolled back free market reforms for fear Cubans are gaining too much independence. Kaysen says Díaz-Canel won't be able to confront them.
Díaz-Canel is not going to have any power on his own. He doesn't have a power base. I don't see any spark of dissidence in him.
Still, other diplomatic veterans say it's a shame the U.S. at this moment is pulling back on engagement with Cuba. That's prompting Cuba's old guard to retrench even further. Ambassador Vicky Huddleston was Kaysen's predecessor in Cuba. She's author of the new book, Our Woman in Havana, a diplomat's chronicle of America's long struggle with Cuba.
What is so frustrating is the United States is missing this opportunity. We are contributing to slowing up a reform process.
If that slow reform process dies in Cuba, it won't make much difference at all that the next president's name isn't Castro. I'm Tim Padgett in Miami, and we'd like to hear from you. Do you think Cuba's next president will bring change? Text the letters WLRN to 63735. Text WLRN to 63735. Standard text messaging applies.
The Latin America Report is made possible by MBAF, CPAs and advisors.